Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. Hey, in just a moment, I am going to be bringing on one of my dear friends. Her name is Tiffany Peterson, and she is someone who we met about 6 or 7 years ago. And when we met, we were instant friends. She is someone who I was so impressed by her willingness to share and to mentor me and support me and actually be a cheerleader for me. Many times when you meet fellow women in business, they can be competitive or, you know, maybe a little bit more closed. And she was never like that. She was so warm and just loving. And I just adore her. She's so amazing. And if you're in the Salt Lake area, you probably have heard of her. If you're into personal growth, really, she's been all over the world speaking and teaching. She has a number one podcast. She is a life coach. She's a business coach. Her work is really profound. And every time I'm with her, one thing that she does for me is she mirrors back to me my power, my true essence. And I just appreciate that so much about her. So I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. So enjoy. I know it's going to be a good one. Let's go. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I am so excited about today. I have someone who's very dear to me. I've learned so much from her. And every time I meet with her, it's like I'm home. Like, oh, I remember you. Our souls remembered each other immediately the first time I met her in this lifetime. And we started chatting and I'm like, okay, we got to just push record here because people have got to hear these nuggets of goodness that we are going to talk about because we're just going to have an authentic convo today. So welcome, Tiff Peterson. Hello, hello.
Sis, it is so good to be with you. And you know this, if you're listening to this show, that spending time with Jen is just good for your soul. It's good for your brain, good for your heart. She's just goodness through and through. And yes, we were starting to just like dive into some rich gems. And she's like, wait, we got to record this. Which I totally, as a podcast host myself, I understand that. Like, I'm just grateful to be here and I'm grateful for all of you listening. And our intention is just to add light and goodness and perhaps some perspective that can help you on your journey too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just push rewind for everyone and let's talk about, yes. First off, I have to say how I met you, Tiff, and what I was so pleasantly surprised with, impressed with you was I'm behind Tiff when it comes to business and personal growth. And I was just a little baby when I met you, when it came to what I knew about coaching or this whole world, right? Of helping and guiding people. And we had a mutual friend who introed us, or she told me about Tiff. And so I reached out to you and you immediately said, yes, let's get together. And I didn't know what to expect. You were a rock star here in Salt Lake and had a big foundation under you. And so I didn't know if you would kind of be like, you know, kind of brush me off. I had no idea, right? And you were so gracious and we met and it was like kindred souls. You just have always been so helpful to me and supportive. And I just appreciate that so much about you.
Sis, thank you for that. And, you know, I think I love this coaching world and I'm always clear first and foremost, though I'm a student first, right? And then a teacher, so to speak. And so I think meeting a kindred spirit who's also like, I love to learn and grow and heal and expand and you're doing the work, right? I mean, that's really the mark of part of being a great coach is that you're always committed to doing your own work and you've always been part of that. And I just love meeting other great humans, especially women who are turned their light on or turning it on or wherever part of the process, but we need each other, right? There's a lot of people that have helped me on my journey. And so it's like, I love it to whatever level and degree I can. It's like supporting others. So I'm just glad that we're connected, sis, and grateful to be here.
Yeah. As soon as we get together, we just start diving in and talking about real things. And that is another thing about you that, you know, there are some coaches out there that want to act like they have everything put together. Like they are shiny and they don't have any problems. And it's like, come to me and I'll help you with all your problems because I have figured it all out. And that's not reality. If anyone says that, it's like, whoa, wait a second. What? I smell a rat here, right? Because the truth is we're all on a journey. We all have our things that we're working on. And so that's one thing that I also have been really impressed with you is when we get together, you know, we can have real talk and it's not about like, oh, you know, I'm up here on a pedestal and I figured out all this stuff. You have figured out a lot of stuff in your life. We both have because we've been on a journey, but we always will have another layer, more things waiting for us to figure out and to connect on.
Yes. Amen to that. As I just love, again, yes, to your point, keeping it real. And truthfully, as a coach, when I was new, I've been doing this 13 and a half years on my own since I left corporate. I did feel the pressure in the beginning to like have it all together and be put together. And it always had to be on. And truthfully, the more that I also allowed myself to be real and there was grace and humanness, and I shared even that more publicly, right? It's not about you got to quote air your dirty laundry, but just the reality of some of the human struggles and facing off with fears and self-doubt and trying things and willing to do it imperfectly. The more that I think brought in the realness, actually is when my business really took off. And so I think those of you listening is being reminded of that is that you're all in the people business, no matter what you sell, whether you're a real estate agent, you're a fellow coach like Jen and I, you're in health and wellness products, tech, education, you name it, is we're all in the people business. And what people are craving is not perfection. They're craving connection. And you can only connect when there's realness involved and there's a sense of vulnerability and a sense of like aliveness of like, hey, that person, there's realness there. Realness invites safety and trust too. So the irony is that as much as you might try to like, hey, I'm put together 24/7, sometimes I am put together and I'm rocking it. And sometimes I'm a hot mess and that's real life, you know? And I think the more that we bring our real selves, again, that people want connection, not perfection. So any of you that like me might be a recovering perfectionist, or maybe you're choosing today to say, I'm going to let go of that. I get to be more alive and more real as a human. Interesting, we're talking about this. I had a gathering last week and about 25 people, a very intimate group is what the space would allow. And we gathered for some coaching and charcuterie, right? Two of my favorite things. I love a good charcuterie board and I love coaching and I love community. And I said this to them and we turned it into a quote card that actually went on my social media today, which was, you don't need to perform. Right? Some of these people were going to join me in the hot seat for my podcast and recording. And some of them, it's the very first time they're doing something like that. So, you know, the nerves like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I got to perform. And I said, you don't need to perform. You just show up as your authentic self. And that truly is enough. And when you show up as your authentic self, the right hearts find you. And so all of us, I think, get to learn, you know, from that lesson. And you know, one of the things you and I were talking about, because we said, let's click rewind before we clicked record, is truly the journey of coming home to your true self and your authentic self and the decision to say, I'm going to choose to have a healthier, better relationship with me and be true to me. And sometimes, not sometimes, always, that's an ongoing discovery process, right? But the willingness to go there and the willingness to come home to self. And too often in life, we give our power away outside of us, right? Is that someone else knows more than us. And that might be a religious teacher or spiritual teacher, or even a coach. Sometimes, you know, this as a coach, where truly a great coach or a great spiritual teacher will bring you home to yourself. That's a great discernment to me when I know someone is of light, is rather than like, hey, I have all your answers for you. And absolutely there's guides in my life and there's different deep loves and teachers who've been part of my life who have given me guidance and that I respect dearly and deeply for being on my path. And not or, and they truly, you know, coming home to yourself is a big part of this life journey. And the willingness of, again, coming home is like what I like to call it, is you show up for you. All of us have wounding in relationships somewhere. Like, let's just normalize that. And it might have been a parent. It might have been a sweetheart, an ex-wife or ex-husband, or, you know, a friend betrayal, a business falling out, whatever. We have all had relationship wounding. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, you're old enough to understand what I just said is like, yeah, we've all been wounded in relationship at some level, or we got left out, or we didn't get picked for the team, or got kicked off the team, or all the ways that we have stuff that we all are learning lessons here, right? Every one of us. And I have empathy for that and healing, and it's needed. And a big part of your healing will be coming home to yourself and affirming self. And it's like, we spend so much time trying to get someone or something outside of us to validate us. Am I enough? Am I pretty? Am I smart? Am I talented? Is this okay? Versus like you giving yourself that love and permission is, do you like you? Do you show up for you? Because some of my deepest, like biggest ahas, and it sometimes wasn't comfy, Jen, it like was a 2x4 in the face. Like, oh my gosh, is I have some abandonment wounds. How about you?
Oh yeah.
Do you got abandonment wounds too?
Yes, definitely.
And I do. And I have tenderness for that. And I giggle a little bit because it's like, oh, I'm just trying to normalize it. And it's like some of that has been deep. And it has been an arduous journey of healing. And at times I'm still, it's the thing that will come up at times, or, oh my gosh, this and this. So I have deep compassion for it, but I just normalize that likely everyone listening to some degree can relate at least, but some of our deepest wounding, and I know for myself, oh man, this is just even like to say it, is when I've self-abandoned. Oh, that was the 2x4 at times. Is like, but times when I left myself, I compromised myself, I didn't speak up, I let myself stay in situations that weren't kind to me, or I ditched my self-care habits, or I let go of things just to have the approval of someone else, right?
Yes.
And I think some of that healing definitely comes in when we choose in to say, I'm going to show up for me. Do I like me? Do I have my own back? Do I have me? Like, I'm going to take better care of you. And if you're feeling this right now, some of you might even have tears, or you might have emotion or frustration or whatnot. It's okay. Just take a deep breath, put a hand on your heart, maybe one even on your belly. If you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. But you know, you just choose to come home to yourself and like, I've got you, sweetheart. I choose you. And even though I may have messed it up in the past, I'm re-choosing you, and I'm recommitting to having a better relationship with you and expanding that journey. I'm going to love you. I'm going to show up for you.
Oh, I love that so much. It's so true. So that's what I always say to parents that I talk to about. The best thing you can do for your children is for you to love yourself, to take care of yourself, because they're watching you. And if you're self-abandoning, like you're talking about, then they're going to learn to do that same thing. We don't think about it being such a gift to all the people in our life that love us, to start actually honoring ourselves and taking care of ourselves. But Tiff, when you're talking about that, do you show up for you? Do you know who you are? I didn't get there till I was 40 years old.
Right.
It was April of 2016, 40 years old, that I actually remembered my own worth. And I truly remember the day and the moment that it happened. Doesn't mean I don't have insecurities sometimes, that I don't have those abandonment issues kind of rear their head. But people are searching so much, and you hit it on the head when you say giving away their power. I feel like they do that with their doctor, even of like their own health, of like, hey, tell me what's going on inside my own body. Like, we have to show up for ourselves first, and then we can get advice on the next level, right? But not first and foremost going to everybody else for answers. People do this in religion. They do this in the spiritual community. So they'll go to their preacher, their bishop, their
shaman,
right? Their shaman. Hey, give me more of what you gave me last time for me to find my answers. Mm-hmm. And constantly seeking for things outside themselves. So yeah. What do you say is the answer for people that are searching and they're looking outside of themselves for their answers? What do they do? How do they start?
You know, part of our own healing and the willingness to be on this path, listening to a show like this, if you're listening to a show like this, you're into personal and spiritual development, or you wouldn't be here, right? It's like, you would not just wander into this weeds. Like, how did I end up here? You know, it's like, hey, you're here. And we just acknowledge you as well, is that you're doing work to help yourself take better care of you, and your relationship with everyone you do life with is a ripple effect. And so your willingness to be here, listen, do the work, just like Jen is doing with her 13-year-old son, is that willingness is like, as we heal, we help others heal. Like, you see the quote sometimes go around social media that says, hurt people hurt people. Yes. And healed people help heal people. And so the more that we're willing, and we're all a mix of those things, we're hurt and healing. And the more that we're committed to the light and to the healing, the more we're allowing that to trickle into other parts of our lives. And it shows up in our relationships. You know, when we talk about, quote, self-care, and that's a term that can be used in all kinds of ways. But as you're committed to your self-love and your self-care, sometimes people have resistance to that, right? They think, oh, and this is part of answering your question, how do we come home and how do we do this work? Is part of it is we start to value the time and the resources invested in ourselves as an investment. But sometimes there's resistance, like self-care is selfish, right? Is that selfish of me as a mom to take time to work out and meditate or go to therapy or get a massage or hike with my girlfriends, do things that fill my own cup? It's actually the opposite of selfish. Self-care is spiritual. Because I love basic math, Jen. Basic math. I'm a big fan of it, right? I intentionally studied in college 2 years of Spanish to get a Bachelor of Arts so I didn't have to do college math, because that got a little complicated, right? I like basic math.
So you went for Spanish instead?
Yes, I did. Which I'm really grateful. Like, I'm off to Mexico next week with my sweetheart. He leads trips down there. They support 10 orphanages through an organization called the Child's Hope Foundation. And I'm so grateful I took 2 years of Spanish, because I get to understand a lot more than I can ever speak. But the point is, I chose Bachelor of Arts instead of a Bachelor of Science so I could skip all that heavy math, and I did language instead. That's not the point. It's not my college degree. The point is, basic math, I'm a fan of. And basic math says, when I feel better, I show up better. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
When you feel better, do you have more patience in your parenting?
Yes.
When you feel better, are you a better, kinder sweetheart to your man?
Oh, yeah.
When you feel better, do you have more patience with people driving really slow on the road, right? Or other ways we're more likely to be kind, generous, giving, intentional when we feel better. So my best self, when I'm heavily fueled with good self-care, I'm nourishing my body, I'm nourishing my roots, I'm doing the things that help me feel good physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you're going to get more of my best self. So that's actually my best self, my high self, my goddess self is more present. I'm actually more spiritual with good self-care than selfish. Because think about, when you don't feel good, who do you think about? Yourself.
Yeah.
You're more like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm heavier. I'm more withdrawn. I'm more in this energy. It's all about me. I'm offended more easily. And I'm a little more short and snippy and, I get hangry sometimes, like all those things. When you don't feel as great, you don't bring your best self to the party, and no one brings their perfect self all the time. I don't. But we can practice principles, and this is partly how we come home. And there's actually a free worksheet on my website. It's a really good template, because I'm a visual learner, to download. My website is tiffanyspeaks.com, short, sweet, tiffanyspeaks.com. And there's a tab, free resources. Under that tab, there's several freebies in there. One of them is called the Self-Care Guide. And I invite you listening to go download that after the show and work through. There's a gorgeous worksheet there my designer created. And it gives you a template of four quadrants: body, mind, heart, spirit. Your physical body, your mind or mindset, your heart or your joy, and then your spirit, which is usually about your higher power or higher purpose, and or both, that you're nourishing. And that is the question, is start asking yourself, what nourishes me? What nourishes me? Because nourishment gives you roots, gives you legs, gives you fuel in the tank. And this is partly, again, how do we start healing some of these things, those abandonment wounds, the triggers, the self-doubt, the lack of confidence, the frustration, the sadness is I'm going to choose to take better care of me, body, mind, heart, spirit. I call that the core four. So that's a template, a freebie you can go get access to, but that is partly how we begin or continue or deepen our own healing is when we truly are showing up better for ourselves. Now, I'm a big fan of thriving relationship too. So it's not either or, it's like a yin yang is thriving relationship with self, thriving relationships with others. And so I'm not saying it's all just about ourselves. It's like being in great friendship, like your friendship in my life. We had a conversation last late summer sitting at the dodo that was so healing for me. And again, you bring so much safety that I really was like, hey, I'm just going to reveal and share and drop into all these things and get really vulnerable because of who you are and how you show up. My man is such a great, amazing human and has brought so much healing and love to my life and goodness, activation, right? Dear friends and family, and again, certain guides on the path and spiritual teachers, religious teachers, all of it, coaches, you name it. I've had some great relationships. So it's not either or, it's and, but many people where they're stuck or where they're challenged is they're heavily looking always for their self-worth outside of them. In a number on a scale, bank account, achievements, and inclusion or tribal, right? Part of the last couple of years, you know, something just being transparent was really painful for me is I had some experiences in relationships with family because we had different choices as we were navigating the pandemic. And that's okay. But sometimes, you know, as humans, that feeling of, oh man, if I don't do it just like you do it, I get cut out from the group, the tribe. You know, it's like, I have to worship like you or believe like you or vote like you versus like, hey, some of those inclusion needs, right? And that was a little bit painful. I just shared that tenderly, not to like poke anything. And they aren't wrong for that. To be so clear, they're on their own journey. But more importantly, is I got to practice a lot of what we might call self-soothing versus people-pleasing, so to speak, which was, I'm going to show up for me and be true to me, even if it's different than the tribe, whether that tribe is family, religion, social groups, is choosing to take better care of ourselves. And I richly have some beautiful relationships in my life because, again, it's not either or, but showing up for yourself again and again will give you a deeper sense of self-trust. And when that's there, guess what? You start creating at a magnificent level. That's a lot of the coaching work that I'm up to in the world is they hire me to grow their business. They hire me to grow their platform, rank advance in their direct sales company, double their sales, grow their platform. I get hired to grow their business. And the body of work we do get into sales funneling and languaging and offers, but the body of the work we're doing is how they show up for themselves. And when you show up solid for yourself, not perfect, but you're working at that, your self-confidence increases. Therefore, you're more magnetic. More sales start coming in because you're in deeper alignment where they're like, I want what Jen's got. I want to learn from her. Or I want to buy from her or him or whatever the case might be. But again, a lot of that is like how you're showing up for yourself has so much influence to everything else in your life, including those relationships you highly value, love, and appreciate. Is one of the best things I do for my marriage, which is still interesting to say because I've been married for like 7 months and you were there. And thank you for celebrating us. But one of the best things I do for my sweetheart is I really prioritize my own self-care habits. I work out, move my body, and I invest in my brain, get therapy when needed, right? Time with my girlfriends because that fills my cup, my prayer and meditation practices. And, you know, things like that is one of the best things I do for him. Is take better care of me.
Oh my gosh. I would have never thought about that in the past. I get it now. I totally get it now because I see patterns and I see that that's when my life really changed is when I started taking care of myself. But what a crazy thought that if you take better care of yourself, if you go and get a massage, if you go and get an outfit that you feel sexy in, it's going to benefit your marriage, right? And totally. So what a great point that is. It truly is the most important thing is taking care of yourself and actually loving who you are and showing up. You're going to make more money. Your business will thrive. People will want to come and gravitate towards you. Your relationship will thrive. My husband and I, we have come leaps and bounds in our marriage. We are not perfect. We still argue. We still fight sometimes, but we've come a long ways. And it is truly that peace, period. And that is us each remembering who we are and honoring ourselves more. Mm-hmm. But we kind of skipped over something that I want to go back to. Mm-hmm. Normally, I would have started this out with you introducing who you are for people that don't even know who you are and what you do. Tell people a little bit about what you do. What is your work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will. And I need to, though, I want to just speak to this with you is because many of you listening are fathers or mothers. And sometimes we have this idea, all of you have an idea, and it's really like a cloud. It's not something you can like put in a jar, but you have an idea of what it means to be like a great mom or a great father. Almost anyone I ever talk to who are physical parents, right? We're all parenting, but some of you literally have physical children. You all probably have an idea, and it's again, this like elusive idea of what it means to be a great mom or a great dad. And often you regularly likely feel that you're missing the mark, the not enoughness, right? It's just a way it gets played out. Like I regularly feel like, oh, I could do more. I could do more. I could be better. I'm this, I'm that, or my mom did this, or my dad did that, or I should do or should or whatnot. And I just think it matters. Again, if you're listening to a show like this, you're working on your own self, your own emotional blueprint, you're working on your mindset, you're becoming more conscious and aware. And this probably isn't the first time you've listened to a show or some kind of content like this, is you're on the path. And so what matters is we acknowledge the progression of how much you're progressing in your own work and your own healing. And then again, how that shows up in your parenting. And so I just don't think we can say that message enough, is that there's lots and lots and lots and lots of great parenting books and ideas that are out there. Some are not so good, but a lot that are. But I think it just matters is, again, if you're in a space like this, you're committed to the evolution of healing and growth. And therefore, I'm grateful that you are a parent, right? Because if you're a parent, I mean, this kind of work, wow, you're helping move the needle with how we're helping generations behind us heal.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that. I'm not a parenting coach, to be clear, to answer now Jen's question, who are you and what you do in the world? Like, hey, what's this up? But again, I do a couple of different things, but I spend most of my time in either coaching or speaking around a couple of core topics. My background professionally heavily is in sales, as you know. Like I spent many years when I was still corporate employed working for some greats, Stephen Covey, the author of the great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I went to work from there for Rich Dad, Poor Dad's group, Robert Kiyosaki, and then Jack Canfield, creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul. You've probably at least heard of these people, whether you've read their work or not. And I helped them make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in coaching sales. Now, Jen, this was still when we were explaining to people what a coach was, right? I got started in the coaching world in 2001. It's 2023 at the time of this recording, in a sales capacity, my early 20s, and started to learn how to sell coaching. And we were still explaining to people what a coach was. And it's been fun to watch this industry, the way that it's evolved. And coaching is now a mass adopted concept, and mental health and wellness and progression topics are mainstream now, which is so cool that we can have open conversations like this and we're not, quote, weird. Maybe we are a little weird, but you know what I mean? Like mainstream is on board with what we call thought leadership and mindset work and personal development. And so I left corporate America in 2009 and started my own little business called The Lighthouse Principles, which we share that connection with your lighthouse and what you're up to. And I mostly coach women that want to grow their business, but I do have a handful of male clients, and I do a combination of speaking and coaching related to sales, mindset, and this body of personal development work that I'm so passionate about that you could call self-esteem, self-love, but the self-work. So they hire me again to grow their sales, but especially when you're growing your sales, part of selling is how you're showing up, of course. It's not just if you have the latest, greatest product or service or the price point. Those things matter, but the core influence to your sales success is how you're showing up energetically. And so we do a lot of alignment work and taking better care of yourself, right? Permission to do that. Because everyone listening already knows, if I take care of myself, I'm going to feel better. But a lot of people think, oh, I don't have time for that, or this or that, or that's expensive, or it's this, whatever things are coming up for them. People already know that, but dropping into a space where your coach holds you accountable to taking better care of yourself, then they follow through and then they see a difference. So that's the body of work I'm up to, is alignment, expansion of self, to then have that intentionally regrow your sales with your languaging and your offers and your funnel matched with that. So we just put you into harmony.
Love yeah. It.
Thank you for asking.
So a lot of people come and gravitate towards me, and probably you as well, that like women coming to grow their businesses. A lot of them probably are wanting to do the similar work that you do, maybe be a coach, or maybe a lot of them not, but some of them do, right? I have a lot of people that gravitate to coach with me that ultimately they want to become a coach, right?
Yeah.
But they're really afraid of taking that leap of actually stepping into that role. What do you say to people that they have a big goal, they have a big dream that they want to go after, but they're really afraid of criticism? Have you ever had to face any criticism or any haters out there?
And
do you still have haters? And if so, how do you handle that?
I love this question because it's so rich and layered, and it's like a good piece of pie, and there's just like layers in it, and we're going to get into it. So, but yes, very common as well. And I actually have a course we're launching in the fall that's helping specifically for coaches to grow their business, because I do that one-to-one quite a bit, but we're going to put it into a course so more people can access it.
Awesome. Is this the first time you're doing that?
Uh-huh. Nice. In this way. Yes. So I'll keep you in the loop on that as that comes to me. But here's the thing. So I love, if you're a fellow coach or want to be a coach, I love that. It's like honoring that path, because it's such the path of helping people improve their lives. Whether you're a life coach, a business coach, an organization coach, you know, you're doing mindset, you do leadership, you do whatever, a financial coach. If you're in the coaching world, you are helping people improve their lives in some way or fashion, right? So I love that. But part of putting yourself out there is naturally, you will be judged. You're judged all the time, right? And we're afraid of that. But the thing is, you're already being judged, right? I love, there's a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, where she's attributed to saying, do in your heart what you feel to be right, for you'll be criticized anyway. And that's not to like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be judged, but you're always being judged. And a lot of times you're being judged for the positive. People are like, oh, I'm taking this in. I think you're a great person. I love who Jen is, what she's up to. That's technically a judgment. You know, I've experienced Jen and I have a judgment on her. And the judgment's really in the positive, because it's like, I love being around this woman. I love who she is. But that is taking, quote, an assessment on someone. And so sometimes that fear of rejection or that fear of being judged can be quite paralyzing. It's been one of my biggest arch nemesises too. It's because I just love harmony and I love people to be connected and everyone's welcome and let's all be friends. And even if we see things differently, let's respect and love one another. And so I get that. So have I had people that have hated on me or gossiped about me or said negative things? Yes. But you know what, Jen? You know what I've had tenfold to that? Are the cards in the mail that show up at my PO box, the tearful eyes standing with me in a bathroom at a convention center, telling me how my work's changed their life, saved their marriage, helped them heal losing two children within 7 months of each other. I have a woman literally printed right behind me. I know many of you are listening to this audibly, but right behind me in my home office is my vision board, intention board. And there's a photo of me and this woman tracked me down at a conference to tell me how one of my courses literally changed her life. And I don't take myself that serious when people say that. And I was polite, oh, thank you. And was kind of trying to wrap up the conversation and move on. And she went on to tell me how that course saved her marriage and how why that really mattered is she lost two children the following year, 7 months apart, and how that if her marriage had also fallen apart, she doesn't know how she'd be surviving. And it was like, oh. And so you'll have people that write kind notes and they'll thank you and they'll appreciate you and you'll help grow. And sometimes they'll never turn around to tell you that, but you're just, it's the issue isn't, are they going to like me? The issue is, are you going to step fully into the purpose that keeps knocking at your door? The issue isn't them. Again, we're back to, we make our whole world about everyone else's opinion versus like, what does your soul say? What does your heart say? Your God say? What's the Holy Spirit teaching you or your impressions or your spiritual work? Is we put everyone else's opinion on the altar and we make it, well, what if I'm not liked? So what? When I speak, I was in Orlando, Florida on Saturday, a couple of days ago, speaking to a large audience. Let's say there's 100 people in the room. Well, there's 100 opinions of me. And some of those people are like, this girl, this redhead, she's my girl. I'm signing up for her coaching program. We're going to be Instagram besties. I'm going to slide in her DMs. We're going to go have a hot cocoa together or whatever. And some of them might've been like, yeah, that redhead really should have got a mist on tan before she got on stage because I'm pretty fair complected. The point is I can't control how they receive me. I only control how I show up. That's it. And I showed up with intention prepared and to add value and prioritized my rest, prioritized eating a healthy meal, moving my body, nourishing my spirit. I can only control how I show up. I can't control how I'm received, and neither can you. And even if you tuck yourself into a little box and do it the right way, the way they want you to, there's still then someone else going to judge you for that. And so we just have to take off the altar, the worshiping of everyone liking you and everyone, you know, and do I care if people like me? Of course I do. Do I want them to like me? Of course I do. But I've learned so much more about I'm going to show up and I'm going to be genuine and add value. And how I'm received isn't my business. One of my favorite authors in personal development, if you've never read her work, I highly endorse her, is a woman named Byron Katie. And she has a book called Loving What Is. She has several books, but I love the book Loving What Is. And she has a book on her website called thework.com. Thework.com, you can download free worksheets and things. She says there's three kinds of business on the planet. There's your business, God's business, and other people's business. And most of your suffering is when you're meddling in God's business or other people's business. Get your own business. And your business is to show up and honor your damn self and to do your purpose and to show up and add value to the planet. So are there going to be people that maybe you're not their cup of tea? Sure, they're not. But guess what? Like, there's so many more people that will be so grateful that you did say yes to your purpose, your calling, your gifts in your life, and that thankfulness. But no matter what you choose to do, everyone's not going to like and adore you. What matters isn't if they do, is do you do? Do you like you? See how we're back home to this work again? Do you like you? Do you show up for you? Do you affirm you and approve of you? That's where the power is at. And again, you choose intentionally to show up to add value and be prepared and do your best. But whether people love you or don't like you isn't your measurement of success.
Yeah. That reminds me of when I was starting to step into coaching. I was so nervous to even post on social media because I was thinking about the people that had seen me before and what a mess I was.
Yeah,
sure. I have them in my mind, like they're going to be like, what? Jen's a life coach now? What? Who is she? Right?
Right.
Their voices were
like Jen that I saw be a total hot mess on my couch. That Jen?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yep. And yes. So I think that so many people have that same experience where they think about not necessarily the people they don't know in the crowd, but people that they do know that saw them before. And at the end of the day, you're going to have both. But what about all the people that are waiting for you? Mm-hmm. They're waiting for you to help them. And I appreciate so much what you said when you said that purpose keeps coming and knocking on your door. Because mm-hmm. if you have something that you want to do, then that tells you right there that that is that is, if you have that seed of want of purpose, then that's what you're supposed to do. So quit ignoring it.
Amen.
Stay small and hide from the criticism and plow through it. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you for the question and the safe space and the sharing, because I think that for all of us, those needs aren't wrong. It's just about what priority they're at. And sometimes, again, worshiping, we're literally worshiping the opinions of other people versus I care that I'm aligned with me and God foundationally. I'm in alignment there. And some people say universe, some people say Jesus, some people say Buddha, whatever you call that in your own life. But it's like, are you in alignment with you and your higher self? And that means saying yes to your calling and your purpose. And I loved years ago learning that the word passion, right? What are you passionate about? Your purpose and passion. Well, passion means that which you're willing to suffer for. It comes from initially the concept of the Passion of the Christ, which was turned into a movie. That's the name of a movie, right? It's like Passion of the Christ is what you're willing to suffer for. And that doesn't mean that your passion and your purpose is always hard and arduous either. It's like, I freaking love, like, this conversation, the last almost hour has gone by in 3 hot seconds. Because I love this kind of work and being on a stage or being out or being in conversation. It's like, I love it. I love the creative journey. Are there moments or times it's hard? Yes. Are there times I still get scared or nervous? Absolutely. Are there times I have to self-soothe or I need to unplug for a while or I kind of get like tweaked about something? Of course. And we practice and we come home to ourselves and come home to the work. Right? As we're in the process of doing that. But all of you listening have purpose and passion. You're this unique, incredible being that has a contribution to make. And sometimes that can feel really big and overwhelming. And some of you are waiting for the blackboard to drop from the sky and tell you what your purpose is. Wayne Dyer says this, your purpose is found in service. And so showing up to love, right? That I believe is our spiritual economy. That's the economy at play, which is like, hey, spiritually, I want to show up. I want to add more value. Tony Robbins says dollars follow more value. And so it's like, I want to add value. I want to serve. I want to love. Love it. And if you want to do that in a bigger way, yes. Yeah. So for me, similar with social, the more that I stay anchored in what I'm just sharing, that it's about contribution and I want to serve and add value, laugh in there sometimes too, like send me some of the inappropriate memes because I love them, right? It's like some of that, I love it. But the more that my social comes from a place of contribution versus be very mindful when you come on social, you're not getting on social media to get your self-esteem needs met, right? Like how many likes are enough? Well, that's all relative. Just yeah, show up, add value. It's a great space to connect, great channels to grow your business. But the more you keep that a clean energy, like I'm here to add value, I'm here to connect, I'm here to share, educate, entertain, whatnot, versus your own self-worth doesn't live on the internet.
Yes. So I'm going to end with what is your message to the world? If you can give the world any message, what do you say? What do you want to tell people?
Well, I think a lot of what we've been saying is, you know, again, is choose. And that is what it is a choice, is a conscious choice. Just like when you marry another human, if you choose to ever do that, is choose to literally marry yourself, come into committed partnership with self and choose to have a better relationship with you, be healthier, happier. That's truly one of the best ways you invest in anyone else you do life with, is you're going to choose into that and make that choice, right? And allowing yourself to have more of that joy and that lightness too in the process. It's like, you know, that grace that comes with it. Again, if you're listening to a show like this, it's like you're already committed to quote self-improvement. Perhaps for some of you, your biggest shift will come when you move to more self-acceptance. It's not always got to improve. I respect that. And some of my own biggest shifts and healing transitions or transformation has come from more self-acceptance. That's life work for all of us. So that's what I would say is, you know, making a conscious choice. And some of the things we've talked about today weren't necessarily new, but inviting you to take action upon them, choose them, consciously choose them to help support you in your own growth, your own evolution. And thank you so much for having me and inviting me into your sacred circle and being part of this conversation with you. I just love and adore you. That literally, that hour went by like in 5 hot seconds.
I can't believe it. Honestly. Oh, so good. So good. Okay. So Tiff, tell people, I know you said you told us your website, any other way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. So my main hub again is tiffanyspeaks.com. Lots of great freebies are there. You can find me on Instagram at Tiff Peterson. I also have a podcast show on Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher under my name, Tiffany Peterson, and there's content there. And so there's lots of ways we can get connected and help support you or continue the conversation of growth. And so, yeah, those are some great ways to do that.
Tiff, thanks so much for being on here. I love and adore you so much.
Oh, honey, I love and adore you too, sis. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a fabulous week.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.